Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This next mystery guest made history as the first woman to do play-by-play of an NCAA tournament game. One outlet study called her the most likable personality in sports television. She's been a host of a morning drive radio show in Minneapolis, and now you see her on the sidelines of NBC's Sunday Night Football. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
It's Michelle Tafoya.
All right.
Michelle Tafoya, thanks for joining us. Again, Michelle Tafoya joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Michelle, I got to start off. We're talking about that radio show you did in Minneapolis. Now, you grew up in California, right? So you were out there.
And yeah, I did.
Given what is going on today, what went on this weekend, you're out there for the Rodney King riots. And I'm curious, again, radio host in Minneapolis, what are your thoughts of what you saw in downtown?
It's all so sad. It's just all so sad. And it has us all a little on edge. You know, I still make my home out here, and we have a curfew, and it's just a lot of ugliness. The whole thing, the very genesis of it, what happened, to George Floyd was just unfathomable to me. And so it starts right there. And you look at how the ripple effect across the country, you think to yourself, my God, and everyone holds this, the one police officer, of course, specifically, but the whole group, to have done what they did and what it has started is just a remarkable and really sad thing.
You know, Michelle, there was a time when politics and just, you know, anything that didn't, involve sports, especially for sports casters, sports shows, that was all they want you to do. Now I feel like there's this new open dialogue platform where it's almost encouraged. I don't know if you see it the same way or not, and I don't even know if you see it during the year, during the football season, but do you think that's something that we're going to see more of?
I do. I think it's inevitable, particularly when you have so many athletes who are willing to speak out and who have, become activists. They intersect now more than they used to. I mean, certainly you've seen it at Olympic Games in the past where there was a world stage for the platform. But now with, these sports, as you guys know, the exposure is enormous. And so for someone who wants to make a statement, who wants to make a point, who wants to bring attention to an issue that they feel is very important, this is the way to do it. And I think we're going to see more.
Michelle, to the specific events we're talking about here, since you're in Minneapolis and Minnesota, I think from the outside in Boston, a lot of us think that the slow reaction, to arrest Derek Chauvin, the first officer, and not arrest the other three has led to a lot of the response around the country. You're right there. Is that part of the conversation piece in Minnesota, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think it is. And, they have said that this is the fastest they've ever arrested an officer in a case like this. But you're talking about just a powder keg. And I think, too, one of the other things that's, yeah, the other three need to be charged. I mean, I don't know what is taking so long. I wish I had any insight into that, and I just don't. But I think the other thing is, you know, people have been cooped up, and people are hurting as it is, whether they're ill, whether they're unemployed. You know, to go from this booming economy to being shut indoors and told you can't do this, you can't go to church, you can't go shopping, you can't be outside, all of that. I mean, these things just, it's like a triangle of the worst three sort of things that you could be experiencing: illness, financial issues, and now this racism. And that we all saw, it was right there in public view. It's just astonishing to me. So I think all of those things are adding fuel to the fire, as it were.
We're talking to Michelle Tafoya. She is our mystery guest here in the Harbor One Hotline, and you see her every Sunday in Sunday Night Football on the sideline. Michelle, I wanted to ask you that because, you know, the pandemic, there's a lot of, you know, questions that are being asked about the NFL, what it would look like. Do you have any indication of what your role, a sideline reporter, what that might look like in this pandemic?
We're talking a lot about it, and we're considering a lot of different options. I think there's probably going to be limited access to practice, limited access to the players, you know, away from, normally we go into a city on a Thursday night, all day Friday we hang out at the home team's practice, we spend time there in our production meetings with the guys. I don't know that that's going to continue. I think that they're going to want to limit exposure. So I would guess that, you know, again, this is total guesswork right now because it seems like things are changing every day.
Yeah.
But I would guess that our production meetings are going to be done, you know, via Zoom or whatever, and that we're probably not, I don't know that we're going to be allowed at practice. We may be able to be there at a distance, but I would be surprised. You know, I think the question of whether or not there are going to be fans is still out there. And you talk to different people. I mean, I've talked to Al Michaels this week. I've talked to our producer, Fred Godelli, this week. And everyone's got a different opinion. You know, one will say, there's no way we're going to have fans in the stands. And then someone else will say, well, I think 25%, you know, of the seating will be filled. And you just don't know. And, you know, it's like a parlor game that we kind of just keep guessing at it. But it's a moving target. Everything is fluid. It's going to depend, obviously, on this vaccine. When that comes out, it's just constant change and a lot of unknown.
Michelle, a couple questions for me. The first one is, I just want to make sure, because there were some debates, rumors about certain, you know, broadcasts doing this, calling the games from a off-site area. But you guys do plan on doing the games from the stadium where the game is being played.
That's the plan right now. It's really hard to fathom doing it from a studio somewhere. You know, it really is. It's I don't see the need for that, because if you've got, you know, look, a booth at a stadium, the typical booth on Chris would be sitting, apart from their opening on cam where they're right next to each other, they're not, you know, it's not like everyone's crammed in there. There's plenty of space. And I think if all the technicians were to wear masks or whatever, you lose a lot in the translation if you are displaced from the actual site. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to see that happening. It really is.
So, Michelle, the other one was, you've done these production meetings with the Patriots for a ton of years. What is Bill like during a production meeting?
You know, it's really, you'll be surprised at this. He's just like any other coach in that he's a little bit different every time. And there are some topics that you bring up where Bill will just go on and tell stories and have you laughing. And, you know, it depends on the situation of the team. I wouldn't say he's predictable, but he's really cooperative. He's always showing up. He's friendly. He's pleasant. And like I said, sometimes he can tell a damn good story.
Well, the other guy famously said this year on your broadcast, and Chris talked about it, most miserable 8-0 quarterback in football, Tom Brady, Michelle. Were you surprised at the way it ended based on those comments there at 8-0 with that Ravens game?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I'm just right now, I think just to hear the name Tom Brady and Tampa Bay in the same sentence is the thing that's the most striking to me about everything. I'm curious to know what you, because I haven't really talked to anyone up there, what you guys think of this whole move and what the perception is in Boston.
Well,
am I allowed to ask a question?
Sure. No, I think for me personally, I know there's people, different opinions, right? Because I think a lot of people just felt like he was Patriot out, you know, the Patriot way. It was time to move on. The frustrations were there, the contracts. And I'm happy that he gets to kind of go and maybe with a lot of weapons around him, perform at a high level. I think if he stayed in New England, I think he would have got old faster. That's all. And I think he's trying to finish and show that he can still play.
That's really interesting. Get old faster. That is a really good way of putting it. It really is. I mean, when he was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback, I remember when he said that in the meeting, and I just thought, my goodness. But you understood it, too. You understood his frustration, what he was used to and what he didn't have at his access last season. So you kind of you got it. You knew it just wasn't happy for him at that time. So, it's going to be fun. I mean, the whole Tampa Bay thing surprised me so much. You know, you were hearing the rumors of the Raiders or Los Angeles or whatever, and this just didn't seem like – it certainly didn't seem obvious to me. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
We're talking to Michelle DeFoya. Michelle, did you think that he was, that Tom Brady was more open and honest this last year as compared to other years in the past?
You know, I'd say he's been fairly open with us all along, but I would say I'd have to agree with that. I think that he was much more talkative. He seemed to feel a little more freedom about what he was able to say in the room. And so, I'd go along with that. I would say that he was, you know, the fact that he went on Howard Stern and talked about his marriage is pretty open, pretty honest for a guy who has kind of, you know, who's had a bit of a wall up around him most of his career because of whatever reason. But yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, I think, because I'm thinking if he thinks it's his last year here, because he admitted that he kind of knew it was done before the season even started, that maybe he felt like it was his last chance to be open while he was a Patriots, as in the past where he was pretty guarded. Like, that was my take on it.
No, I think that's an interesting way of looking at it, and it would be a good rationale for why he was that way, no question. I mean, you know, think about it. Put yourself in that position if you can, and you think, I'm under contract. I'm not getting cut this year, that's for sure. I'm probably going to be gone, so, yeah, this can't hurt me. You know, there's no repercussion for what I say. And I don't ever think he said anything particularly damaging to the organization, but certainly more open and free-flowing with his thoughts.
We're talking to Michelle DeFoya. Michelle, I know there's one newspaper actually out of Minnesota, and it's a topic we're going to get into here in a little bit, but Colin Kaepernick. And I'm curious, given what's happened here over the weekend, if it changes the narrative of Colin Kaepernick a few years back, and do you think there's a chance he finds himself on a team this year?
I'll put this in two ways. Yes, it changes the narrative about him. I've been hearing that discussion even in my own house. You know, my husband, I've got a son who's 14. I've got his friends around, and you can kind of, you hear the name coming up. You know, you hear the conversation starting again. It would be sad to me if this was the only reason that someone finally decides to sign him. That would seem so wrong to me and so transparent, as though, yeah, we really didn't sign him because we didn't want to invite trouble. I'm not saying that's not a legitimate concern by an organization, but to suddenly go, I guess we better sign him, is because of all of this stuff. It would expose the league and certain teams and their reasoning for not signing him. I mean, you know, look, we've listened to a lot of coaches say, look, he's just not a fit in our organization. And if suddenly he becomes a fit in their organization for political purposes, that's, I guess I just find that a little strange.
You know, Michelle, it just, you know, back to your craft, which we all are, I would say, intimidated by, because whenever we think of sideline reporting, we always think of the great Steve Burton, who's who has to ask the halftime question during the preseason game to Bill Belichick. So, and it always comes off awkward and weird. So I ask you, is there an interview that you've done that you wish you had back, or you could re-ask the question for any reason? Like a do-over, like a mulligan, like an interview, a question mulligan.
How long do we have?
you just get one. What's the one that you're most embarrassed by?
Embarrassed?
Or just mad about, whatever. Well, any criteria. List the one that stands out the most to you.
I'll tell you one that's, and it's relevant to you guys, is Malcolm Butler after the Super Bowl, after the interception. I don't know how many of you know the story, but after he picked off Russell Wilson, the immediate obvious goal for me at that point was stalk this kid along the sideline, make sure you don't lose him, and as soon as that whistle blows, you go get him. All right, so I do this, and I'm watching him, hug Matt Patricia on the sidelines, and they're talking to each other. Matt's looking deep in his eyes as he's talking to him, and Malcolm's tearing up, and so then finally I go and I get him right as the, you know, game over, go get Malcolm, have him standing there, we're waiting for the toss, we're waiting, and as soon as Al Michaels tossed it to me, Malcolm ran away, because he wanted to be celebrating, he didn't want to be standing there waiting with me, so I had to run after him and grab him. And I think all of that confusion, I just wish I had asked him, what did Matt Patricia say to you right there? That's what I wanted to know, and that's what I regret not asking him in that moment, because I saw it. I saw it happening. But, you know, you're in that moment, you have so many things you want to ask this kid, and I call him a kid because compared to me, he is a kid. But you get, you know, a minute or two questions only or whatever, and it puts you in a little bit of a bind, you know, do I go big picture? Do I go small picture? What do I do? I wish I had asked what Matt Patricia said to him in that moment.
I was going to say, I wish we could jump to the future and you could have asked him why you didn't play in the Super Bowl that they lost against Philly.
Yeah, that's well done. Well done.
All right, well, Michelle, thank you very much for joining us, our mystery guest, and we really appreciate
Excellent
it.
Excellent job.
You.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Have a good one. Be safe out there.
All right. Thank you.
You too. Thanks for
Michelle Tafoya. She is our mystery guest. Ooh, all right, we get back to the show.
Who can it be?
Right after this.
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You hear the name coming up, you know, you hear the conversation starting again. It would be sad to me if this was the only reason that someone finally decides to sign him. That would seem so wrong to me and so transparent, as though, yeah, we really didn't sign him because we didn't want to invite trouble. I'm not saying that's not a legitimate concern by an organization, but to suddenly go, now I guess we better sign him, is because of all of this stuff. it would expose it, to me. It would expose the league and certain teams and their reasoning for not signing him.
That was Michelle Tafoya. She was our mystery guest talking on the possibility of an NFL team signing Colin Kaepernick. And has the narrative changed? She thinks the narrative has changed. This came up. Obviously, there was an article. Well, there was an article written, I should say, in the Minnesota Star Tribune. A strong statement is needed, and the Vikings signing Colin Kaepernick would do it. They were basing it off of a CNN article that was written by Joe Lockhart. Now, Joe Lockhart used to be the NFL Vice President of Communications. When he gets into it and says, yeah, NFL teams didn't want to angle portions of their fan base or bring unwanted media attention to their locker rooms, he later on admits that he was wrong. I think the teams were wrong for not signing him. Watching what's going on in Minnesota, I understand how badly we were wrong. I don't know how you guys feel, if it changes the narrative, but I don't think there's any question. People know why teams didn't want to sign Colin Kaepernick, and it was that. It was unwarranted media attention. Then people looked at his ability and said, okay, is he a starter on my team? If he's not a starter on my team, do I want this in my backup quarterback? So, I know there's quarterbacks up and down, and we sat there and said, how can this guy play? This guy sucks. Teams didn't want to bring him in.
It's actually kind of funny because it's Cam Newton's not signed by anybody.
No.
Cam Newton was a starter, played in the Super Bowl just like Colin Kaepernick, wants a lot of money, has a similar skill set, I would say. They both aren't great, accurate passers. So I think taking a knee, those two, their situations, in my opinion, are pretty similar.
Tough to take out taking a knee,
You can't
though.
Take that out, Christian.
You can't take it out.
My point is, when you come to the real reason why Colin Kaepernick was not signed, did some of it have to do with that? Yes. But if I'm a GM and I'm like, okay, I know what Colin Kaepernick is. I don't think he's a starting quarterback. So I always thought that there was only a handful of teams that could sign Colin Kaepernick, that could use him based on what their needs were. They didn't want to pay a lot of money. They didn't want to, they didn't want to challenge the younger quarterback. They didn't want him to be intimidated. They didn't like it. I mean, so throw all that into the mix. Cam Newton is dealing with the same thing. He's not signed right now. Whoa, pandemic. No. If he was really good and teams were desperate and needed him and weren't worried about his personality or his health, he'd be on a team right now.
Well, and that's part of the reason why he's not signed yet, because like Kaepernick, he doesn't want to be a backup. Like Kaepernick could have gone.
So why take that out of the equation, Mutt? Like, why is it
because
all
it's a huge,
he took
it's
a knee?
Huge part of it, because when Kaepernick, as a backup, Kaepernick could have been a backup, Christian. One, he didn't want to be. Two, he was
that's the league's fault?
He was a headache for people, for teams that want to have a backup quarterback. It's the last thing you want at that position. Cam Newton might be that. He might go somewhere and be a great backup quarterback. He's not willing to sign for that right now. But if you're signing a player who might not play every week and he's going to be just a distraction and Michelle said the narrative had changed, he's still a bad face of this. Like, maybe that's changed people's. He was awful during that time, whether it was the pig socks, whether it was the Fidel Castro support. This guy was a terrible face of fighting social injustice when it first started. Brian Dawkins, the McCourty brothers, those guys have grabbed that thing, and they have been much better than Kaepernick was. So that hasn't changed for me. He's still not the guy I want as the face of this thing.
No, I do think that it's, as time moves on, because I remember as it was going on, we've gone down the teams. We sat there and said, okay, where is the fit, for Kaepernick? And I remember at the time, Seattle was there, and there was still some questions about Russell Wilson. Remember whether he had lost his locker room? Remember at that time, years ago, where it was people didn't know Russell Wilson was, and Pete Carroll, they brought him in, but no, they didn't want to bring in Kaepernick behind Russell Wilson because they wanted Wilson to be the leader. Here we are now, and I think you look at that team and say, Russell Wilson's the guy. But back then, we forget that there were issues there. So you start looking at individual teams like we are right now with Cam Newton. What team would bring in Cam Newton? So you look around the league and say, okay, New England, because they don't have a quarterback, maybe even Jacksonville. But then again, does Jacksonville want Cam Newton, or do they want the kid out of Clemson, Lawrence, right? So there's or does the Jets want to bring in Cam Newton, or they want to see what they have in Sam Darnold? So there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league where they say, Cam's not a fit for us. And people just sort of accept it now. I don't see the people screaming, racism or whatever, or when it comes to Cam Newton. But it is different with Kaepernick. You know, you take that stuff aside and you start talking about professionalism. At the time when we looked around the league and said, where is the fit? Quarterbacks were going down left and right during the season. So it was like, okay, does that team want to bring in Kaepernick? Or is that team better served starting this guy and winning four games? So next year, because they got a quarterback concern. So we forget that when we looked at individual teams, you're wondering what the fit is for Kaepernick. I don't think there's any question the teams avoided him, be given the stuff that was going on off the field and the attention he was getting. But the same thing with Cam. Like you said, where is the fit now for Cam? And it's really only one or two teams. Like there was with Kaepernick.
There's not even a great. Is there a great fit for him or just some good fits? Like I know the Patriots apparently talked to him at some point. The Patriots to me still aren't a great fit. So where is the real, like, okay, why is that team not signed Cam Newton yet? I don't think, like, there's one team that I'd say they need this guy right now based on what we know about Cam Newton.
Right. So if a team, like, we keep thinking Cam's going to sit around and wait for a quarterback to go down. Well, again, it's got to be the right team that has a quarterback go down. A team that thinks that they can compete. Because, you know, if Minshew goes down in Jacksonville, they're good. They're going to win one game.
They're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
You know what I mean? They're going to win one game. So there's some teams that are out there that are sitting there saying, okay, so if our quarterback goes down, sure, Cam is better than this guy, but what are we? Are we a playoff team? Are we a team in contention that can win and we can bring in Cam and he can help us win? Or are we a team that sort of still wants to see what the second guy does? Because we think he could be good. Then we find out he sucks. So if that's the case, if people aren't bringing Cam in, are we going to have the same effect? Why aren't they bringing in Cam Newton?
Well, Christian, do you think part of this is the lack of preparation time these teams are going to have? Like, some, if a team is on the fence about signing Cam Newton, they have to bring him in. He has to learn the entire offense. And so he's not Brady, where he's automatic upgrade over Jameis. He's sort of 50-50 anyway. And you're not going to have to work out with our players. We have to install a new offense with you on remote until sometime in August. Is that part of why a team might not want him right now?
No, I don't think that's it. I think I think there were health concerns, there were personality concerns, attitude concerns. He's got a really bad rap, perception issues. Was he even any good? Can he play the same way he used to? That's a no. Take his legs away from you. What are you going to do with him? That's what I think it is, and I think there's got to be a fit, and I don't know how many teams consider him a fit. It is, they say you have five teams that say, okay, Cam's a fit, we like him. All right, well, how much does he want? And now, is he healthy? Now, should we take a chance on him because he is healthy? Okay, then next thing you know, somebody else became available. I just don't – when I sit there and think about Kaepernick and reasons why, I personally believe that blackballing was part of it. But they do that with a lot of guys for a bunch of different reasons. But I think the most important thing was just – they didn't consider him to be a right fit for money reasons, personality reasons, health issues, all that stuff.
Well, I would say this. Like,
normal.
Like Michelle said, so what if a team comes out and signs him now?
And Kaepernick?
And, oh, the question is, he hasn't played, first off, in 3 years. Okay, hasn't played in 3 years. Now, he worked out. He had that tryout there, the eye wash thing that the NFL put on for him like last year. If somebody signs him now, will people be critical or will they just sort of push that aside and say, you know what, I don't really care why they were pressured into it. I'm happy the guy's got an opportunity. Now he can go out and prove it. Because I was last year at that trial. I was like, you know what, somebody sign him. Like, just somebody sign him. Just get it over with, right? Like, I want to see if he can play. And maybe he can't play. I don't know. But just sign the guy and see if he can play. You know, because you can still have that side of he doesn't want to play. He's hiding behind it. You know, his voice can be heard more if he doesn't get a job. So get rid of that side of the argument. Okay, he has a job. Now let's go judge him on if he can play football or not. And I'm at that point. But it's 3 years later. I don't know if he can still play.
If he gets signed now, he's a prop. He's a damn prop for this league.
So more criticism if you sign him now.
Yes. I think, and criticism for Goodell specifically. You guys saw the response when Goodell had one of those statements over the weekend, and he got a lot of pushback from people saying, you guys have not supported blacks in the past and not been supportive that way. If this now is the reaction to it, they will rightfully, in my opinion, get buried for it. So for 3 years, guys, he wasn't good enough. Now that there's, you know, riots across the country for 5 days, now he is? I mean, you can't – she said it right. It'd be a token signing of Colin Kaepernick.
No, and I would say – I want to say, I mean, maybe he didn't, you know, send his papers in, his retirement papers in, but he's done. He is done.
Dunsky?
He's not playing officially. I can stamp it, double stamp it. He's not coming back. I mean, even as a token, even maybe it's in a different capacity. I would say he has a better chance. They should stop trying to force teams to sign Kaepernick to play quarterback. What they should really be doing is force the league to hire Kaepernick in some capacity. I work for the league. I work on Madison Avenue. I work in the same building as Roger Goodell, Troy Vincent. Give me a title. You bring him back, and then you bring him on in the inside. That's where he can have the most power, and he can be seen the most. Not as a quarterback. Those days are over. And quite frankly, I would be surprised if he even wanted to do it. It's been so long. Well, we're sitting here questioning Gronk. He's been out not even a year.
It's funny because at the time where he was trying to play, a lot of us, myself included, said he doesn't really want to play because teams are asking him to try out and go here and there, and right. he never would get there. He seemed to care more about his Instagram and his girlfriend retweeting him than he did about football. Well,
why I say there's like that side of the argument and the opinion. Well, I want to put that to bed. Go play. You know what I mean? Go play. Hopefully,
Kaepernick?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
No, I'm just saying. I feel like my opinion is that like yes, he has his brand is better if he doesn't have a job.
Agreed.
Okay. Give him a job and let's just find out if he can play.
Exactly. No. Don't give him a job in the NFL. If you really want to make it up to him, and you don't want it to be a token hire. Give him a job on Madison Avenue, working for the league in the inside, wearing a suit.
Doing what? Doing
well.
What?
There's you label it. You make up a title for him. Social justice, injustice warrior. I don't know. Maybe he's in charge of
the regional manager. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe he's community relations. Maybe he's inner city community relations. Maybe. And listen, lots of teams have those ex players do that now. So, Andre Tippett, what do you think his title is?
I have no idea.
No clue. No clue.
Okay, well, I don't know what it is either. Damn it, I was hoping you would know.
Oh, yeah, I just know Andre Tippett's role in the NFL.
But
sure.
I would say it's community relations. So when, say, a high school team wins, like, you know, team of the month, he goes out there and he gives the award.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, every charity event, Andre Tippett is there. He's like the face of the team. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, red jacket, sure. All that stuff. But to me, that's what you should have Colin Kaepernick, because – what a bold statement by the league. Hey, I won't – no team – I'm going to let him on the inside, behind the velvet rope, behind the velvet curtain. I'm going to let him on the inside where all the decisions are made.
Yeah, you can do that. You can have him up there and just prop him up and have him go around and do community service, but you don't think he's good enough to have a job in your league.
Oh, I guess you know what? To your point, Lou, no matter what you do
– so give him a job.
Make him the commissioner.
Give him the job. No, not commissioner. Whatever. Did you give him a job? Bring him in camp. That's what that trial was for. Remember,
it doesn't
end? Because what was
matter.
It? What week did they have this trial? Wasn't it like in the middle of the year? And we're like, come on.
Yeah, and we turned to a TV. No, one of the stipulations was you can't bring a camera crew. He said, I'm still bringing a camera crew. And so it ended up being just for commercial or documentary. It wasn't even a real trial.
But as far as football goes, if you want to say it was all made up, whatever, it was about teams to see him now to maybe bring him in this summer. To maybe bring him in camp to say, okay, let's bring him in next year. It's week 11, for God's sakes, which I think is what it was. Right, Ryan? So, you're going to bring him in now, week 12, week 13? No. Next summer. Okay, so bring him in this summer. I know this offseason is a little bit crazy, but I just want to see him get a job because I want this nonsense. I want to see if he can play.
Okay, so just
for the
record.
I want to see if he wants to play.
Andre Chipper.
Yep.
Okay, Executive Director of Community Affairs. That's like a really good
title. So you're telling me if they made Colin Kaepernick, the Niners made him that, you don't think they get more criticism?
No. You got to bring him into the – no, you got to bring him to the mothership. You got to bring him into the offices with
guys,
same
he sued
office.
The league. Why do they want to hire a guy who sued the league?
You know what? Alex Rodriguez sued the Yankees in Major League Baseball. So look at him now. He's married to J-Lo.
All right, so he's got to marry J-Lo. Well, he's got to find who's Beyonce. I don't know.
And then he could buy a team.
I think she's
okay.
Maybe he can marry Oprah. No, I don't know. Make everything
be
better.
Be Oprah's side piece.
So you want him to be the assistant to Roger Goodell?
No, my point to you is, like, the days of demanding him to be back in the league as a player are over. If the NFL really wants to show that they're serious, forget about Jay-Z. hire Colin Kaepernick.
But my point is
what
that
does he stand
would
for?
Then he would then
doesn't matter. He's make, in charge. He's the executive director of community affairs involving social justice.
No, but here's the thing.
Issues.
Again, this
bam,
goes back
put
to
that
the,
on a card.
This goes back to the brand of Colin Kaepernick. The brand of him. He would sit
it's
there.
Like
he would refuse, but he would turn down that job and say, "Look at them, the league. They want I'll me to just throw me him. Out there in the street." And instead, they don't because they don't want me to have a job in this league. They don't want me to play football. He would turn it on them, make them look even worse. So give him a job. Let him try out.
And we said that 2 years ago, though.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm going to continue to say it because I'd rather, I think that's the best way to figure out whether he can still play, whether he wants to play. Give him a job. Somebody.
I think at some point he's going to look like, you know, Robert De Niro from Raging Bull, the old years, not the young ones, when he's got the big belly and he's like he's like a lounge
the
act.
The old years, huh? All right, listen. So
Raging Bull.
Yeah, obviously the big topic of the day, what happened downtown city, Boston last night, what could happen again tonight, tomorrow. We'll see 1,000 National Guards will be deployed in the city tonight to try to make sure what happened last night doesn't happen. So we'll continue to talk about that, 617-779-7937, taking your phone calls on that as well as Colin Kaepernick. But when I come back, I just want to spend a segment on what the MLBPA sent out to the owners last night, and I want to get Mutt's thoughts on whether he thinks baseball is coming back or not. We will do that next when OMF continues.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, welcome back to OMF. This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. No Ordway, Mutt is in with the MFers. Mutt, haven't got your thoughts on baseball. I know I've listened to you at night, dive more into it right now. But
thanks, buddy.
So apparently the Players Association, they countered the owners with that scaling, cutting payroll scaling system where guys like Mike Trout, who was making 35, will end up making, what, $5.6 million? Yep. So they came back and they proposed a 114-game season that would begin June 30th. Now, it's June 1st today, by the way, all the way to October 31st. They don't want the prorated salaries. That's it. They don't want get paid anything less than that. There's $1 million deferrals they've included if the postseason is canceled or shortened, which is a big thing for the owners because if the playoffs are canceled, that's their big concern. That's where a lot of money will be coming in. They only want to give up $100 million if it is canceled. And by the way, it is deferred. And the owners don't want to go until November because there is a risk of it coming back and losing the postseason. They want to get this thing, you know, over on a normal timeline. I just don't understand this response from the union. I think we're losing time. It's been a couple of weeks. And to just say that, you know, we haven't moved at all, basically. And to think you can play baseball June 30th. It's June 1st. They've admitted they need three more weeks. this thing's got to get straightened out by the end of the week, and I don't think either side is moving towards a resolution, which is why, Mutt, I don't think baseball's coming back.
I know you said that for a while. I've heard you say, I think you're dead ass wrong about it. I think that, not because they're handling it well. It's been handled as poorly as, I mean, literally anything during this time, the way baseball is handled, this public negotiation. But there's just too much at stake. And I continue to think that especially the owner side of it has more to lose here. And this little nugget from Buster Olney really got me yesterday, because he reminded us in his column that next year, the end of next year, December 2021, the CBA runs out. So next spring, with only months remaining in the current CBA, the players are more apt to use the threat of a strike. Owners, already damaged by the money losses this year, could be more inclined to dig in and wait out the players, aiming for a lasting reconstruction of baseball's financial model. The labor fight could go on and on, and by the time it plays out, it's impossible to know how many fans feeling alienated or disgusted will leave baseball behind once and for all. And I think the owners deep down know that, and I believe that they will end up caving. And this is a good. I think it was a good call by the union to go push the games up, knowing that the league's going to immediately, they're going to say, no, we can't play 114, but we'll pay you more. We said we're going to pay you. I think this is their negotiation back and forth.
Yeah, but they're waiting 4 or 5 days for responses.
Oh, there's no defense.
We don't have time to wait 6 days for a response. Now, the owner's going to come back when? Friday? And then the union comes back, what, the following Thursday? And maybe they settle it in 2 weeks, and here we are June 20th and saying, okay, we can start. Oh, well, we need 3 or 4 weeks of camp. So what are we doing? August 1st? End of July?
It is crazy. It's like they've never played chicken before. Or musical chairs.
Well, they do all the time. There's a time limit on this one.
I know, but this one seems, and maybe they don't understand that it is a different situation. You're negotiating, but the threat of not having a season looms over your head. I'm with you, Mutt. I think they're going to play. I think it's been tactics all since the beginning, camouflaged with goodwill and compromise. I don't believe
it. Whoa. Where's the goodwill and compromise?
Camouflage. No, okay. Camouflage. I don't think it's real. Okay. I think the owners sit there and go, hey, we're in this together. We're compromising. We're losing all this money. Hey, you go. You guys do us a solid. Like, hey, can I borrow $20? I'll pay you back. Never. I do think they'll figure it out. I do like the part, and I'm glad they actually brought this up, because I was a proponent of this, is anyone who does want to play doesn't have to play.
Yep.
I think that is one thing that you needed to do.
There's two separate ones. There are people that were pre-existing conditions, or maybe someone in their family, like their wife has a pre-existing condition. Those people can choose not to play and get paid with service time. The others that have no pre-existing, if you're just scared and you just don't want to play, you can sit out, get service time, but not get paid. So that was the part of that proposal from the union. So it does leave a little bit of leeway there for those guys. But I just look at it and say, if there's no postseason, the owners need a postseason.
Oh yeah,
we talked about it before. The TV contract with a postseason could the postseason alone could be $1 billion, national TV. Well. Okay, if there's no postseason, I'll tell you what. I know you're going to, $1 billion doesn't come in. We'll cut payroll by $100 million, but it's deferred. Like, that's not going to get it done.
No.
Like, that's not a compromise. That is, I don't care if you lose money or not. You're going to pay us. We'll just allow you to do it over the next 2 years with interest. That's a slap in the face to me. Every single proposal, I rip the owners when they give their proposal. Then the union comes back and I rip them because I think they're all unrealistic. You're running out of time, boys.
You can't take a side right now. If somebody says they're really strong, like, hey, this side's a side effing it up, I think they're lying because both sides are doing it. But I'm now back on anti-owners more than players, because thinking back in the original process of this, this is June 1st, and they're so far behind the other sports, and they've had months to figure it out. We knew March 12th, during the middle of their spring training, this is going to be an issue. So what took so long for the owners to eventually give the players that first proposal, when there are reports the players asked for the owner's numbers back on March 13th, hey, give us the numbers, we'll figure this stuff out. So why do they take so long on the owner's side? It's almost like Massachusetts, waiting so long to send the National Guard last night. Why did you wait so long to start this
well,
negotiation?
I'll tell you.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's almost like they want there to be this crazy crunch time So somebody makes a rash, an irrational decision, a rushed decision, a panic decision.
To use maybe a word I've heard before, leverage? Use some leverage against the players?
Yep. Hey, because it really, because in the end, as the clock ticks and everyone's about to turn back into a pumpkin, there will be this, oh, screw it, let's just do it. Screw it, let's just do it. Are we really willing to, you know, that whole, like, you know, cut off our nose to spite our face.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
And, yeah. That's what I feel like, that's what they're doing. And again, nobody wins. So, and maybe they don't care. I don't know. It just, when it comes down to who's handling it right, I saw this huge article on ESPN about why is baseball getting it wrong? Like, what is it about baseball that is, why are they screwing it up? And it listed everything that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. And then they compared it to basketball and the NHL, who has a completely different set of circumstances, easier set of circumstances. Not only does baseball have the health concerns and that risk that that's involved with that, but they also have the financial side.
Well, I haven't heard any movement at all on the whole 67-page protocol about how they're actually going to have a season. They still think that they're going to be able to, what, sleep in their beds and just fly up and down the East Coast and stay in different hotels for 3 or 4 days in Atlanta when you play a four-game series? So how does that work? You know, and this is interesting because, was it, Bovada still has updated odds for which league will be first to play regular season or playoff game? Oh, baseball's still the favorites at minus 110.
Oh, that's a terrible bet.
Playoff game? They're not going to play the playoffs till October. You know, the NHL, NBA, so according to them, they don't think they're coming back. Okay. I don't even like the safety protocols that MLB has put out there. I don't think that can happen. And they're running out of time to send kids down to Fort Myers or whatever in spring training to get ready for a season. Like, I just don't see it happening. I could see the owners looking at this proposal and sitting there saying, you know what? Forget about it.
and take no money and just say shut the season down. And, oh, by the way, go to next spring and risk it. I mean, we all, knock on wood, hope that we have a vaccine next year, hope there's a therapeutic next year. But what if this thing's still an issue? Still can't have fans next year. And, oh, by the way, final year of a CBA. Now the players are still pissed off. The owners are pissed. And the fans, I mean, Wiggy's had this thing for 2 weeks where the fans aren't going to care. He is out of his mind. There is so much other stuff to do besides watch baseball now. If they miss a year and a half, 2 years of baseball, forget about it. I mean, you're gonna lose so many casual fans. You have to rebrand and rebuild the game.
Well, the worst part about it is, as Buster pointed out in that piece, you know, the two sides are going to dig in. No matter what happens this year, okay, both sides aren't going to be pleased with the financial agreement, right? Now, next year, you're going to run into it again because the CBA is up. So now next year during the season, we're going to hear more talks. And it's going to be what? It's going to be public again.
Strike,
so it's going to be
lockout,
2 years
strike,
of negative publicity to a sport right now that can't afford it. So, listen, I don't think either side wants this thing to happen, wants the season to end and have no baseball. But I feel like both sides are so dug in that it's been 2 weeks now and we haven't seen any movement whatsoever. 2 weeks, nothing. So all of a sudden, what, they're going to just, you know, come the Jesus moment and just overnight iron this thing out and everyone's going to be happy?
Is it Rob Manfred? Is he the one that's got to bridge this? It's not, I mean, it's going to be tough for me. John Henry, I don't think, is well-loved, you know, around owner circles. I don't know who that owner is that can step in and be that Bob Kraft and save it. But somebody has to. I don't even know if there's a player that's willing to do that and sit down. I think the union and the owners are so angry at each other for years of this crap that it's tough now to broker a deal other than money. Money, money, money. Green talks, and eventually the owners will look at it and say, okay, we got to get a deal done, 80 games, we'll pay them, we'll defer it. We need a season this year. So eventually money saves us. That's what I say.
Yeah, well,
you would like to think that, but sometimes money and stupidity are quickly parted, you know? They just can't swallow it. They just don't want to do it.
And I think both sides, you know, are so locked in and upset and angry and frustrated over this deal that they're trying to commit that they can't take a step back and see the big picture. I mean, I think there are some, but there's a lot of them that I think just sit back. No, we need to win. We need to win this negotiation because we got a new contract coming up in another year or so. We need to win right now, and I think they're digging in at the wrong time. You know, there's an agreement to be made. Nobody wants to hear it, especially given, I mean, nobody wanted to hear it, you know, 2 weeks ago. Given what's going on in this country the last week, people now are like, dude, I don't even care.
Nobody, apathy. Apathy.
Yeah, after what's going on right now in this city, in cities across the country, people are like, really? You guys still bitching about, you know, contracts? What are we doing? So it's getting even worse for them. And I didn't think that was possible, but I think it actually is. All right, listen, last hour here coming up. We got a quick one-minute break, 30 minutes of uninterrupted talk. We'll get into it. We'll get into what's going on in the city and across this country over the weekend. Governor Baker spoke earlier today, as well as Mayor Walsh. You'll hear from both of them as we discuss what went on down the streets of Boston last night as OMF continues right after this.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.